Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
The last thing they saw was someone they trusted. You're tuned in to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreeke.
The case against Brian Koberger will be going to trial in 2025, we think. There's a date, at least. August 11th, 2025 seems reasonable for a trial where the defense is, I like to go look at stars. I don't know why we need to keep waiting this thing out. Join me to discuss Robin Dreeke, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. We're still kind of at I like to look at stars. And that's all we got, unless there's some other thing that's going to be weighed out here that they have something up their sleeve, which they probably don't. I don't know why this is going to need to take literally August to they're estimating November. I'm just kind of surprised by what we're looking at or what they're estimating for 25.
Yeah, it seems simple to you and I, and also the book we read on it. I mean, the investigative report of the book. What was the name of the book?
You keep talking and I'll find the book name. Yeah.
Fantastic book. Good deep dive on all the nuances we saw and really explored all the defense's claims as well and kind of abolished them. So what's interesting about this is that this alibi, every time the defense comes up with the alibi of looking at stars, the first thing that always goes into my mind, as you and I talk about all the time, is where's the arc and life arc of doing that? It's not there. So here's where that would be some plausible deniability for a jury in my mind. So the claim that the alibi is that he's out looking at stars. Okay, show me the other nights he's looking at his stars. Show me his star charts. Show me his knowledge. Demonstrate to me his knowledge of astronomy. Yeah. So you would have to show a pattern of behavior that fit rather than being an outlier, because outliers, they don't happen in life. There's never 0 to 100. There's never, I don't care about stars today, and all of a sudden, the day that there's a murder, I go out and look at stars around the same area that they're murdered at. It just doesn't happen. And it's not going to be plausible to a jury either.
No, I don't think it will. The book, by the way, When the Night Comes Falling, Howard Bloom. Is it Blum or Bloom? Yep. Blum? Okay.
I think it's
I've heard it said both ways so many times. But yes, very fascinating dive. And what was very interesting to me in that book specifically was the secondhand accounts that Howard got from people that were close to his family, close to his father specifically, kind of, buddies. I picture the coffee clutch, at the McDonald's or whatever, and the kind of guys talking, and one of the guys at that table essentially is what I think Howard got his information from. That's my conjecture. And that can be fairly accurate when those guys you're talking and you're just sharing what happened. And you really do kind of get a feel of what maybe dad is feeling about his son and the family in general. I mean, the sister too. I mean, again, this is just speculation. But there is some stuff behind it. There was reports that she, was kind of suspicious of if he was the person that that was behind this. Apparently, even brought up at the table that Thanksgiving, allegedly. Yeah. Where do you think the family's at on this now, and how do you think their support is going to be demonstrated?
So, Koberger's family, conjecture hat, empathy, deep dive, put yourself in their shoes. I don't think it's going to change from anything we've seen. You have a father trying to save his baby boy. I mean, literally, that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to save his life.
Yep.
And from the accounts in the book, there's a lot of data that people surrounding Koberger in hindsight were saying kind of makes sense. They can picture that happening, because of Koberger's life arc is a troubled one.
Yeah.
Not that all troubled people are going to, murder people, but people that are happy don't. Yeah. As again, I've said on your show before, happy people don't commit espionage. Happy people don't kill people. My first question anytime I'd have a lead come in on a deep, dark case, and I'm starting interviewing people around them to gather data, gather information, gather evidence, my first question is generally, tell me what you think about them. And if I have these glowing, congruent expressions of love, compassion, caring, friendship, good opening on accommodating on verbals, we're like, oh my God, I can't believe it's him. He'd never do that. And I get consistent patterns of the people around this person doing that. Mm-hmm. We're looking at a good health, someone that has good, healthy relationships. And so the likelihood of them being the bad guy, it starts diminishing.
Yeah.
But if I start getting, I don't know, man. That's, yeah. Well, you know, that those kind of responses from people around him, mm-hmm. we got some smoke.
Yeah.
And smoke is saying we might have fire. And then what we do when we start having bigger puffs of smoke, we're looking for data. We're looking for evidence, tangible, tactical things that are going to say and place him in specific places, DNA, which is going to be extremely hard for them to refuse. I think that's really where this case is going to be going. It's going to be an argument over DNA. Mm-hmm. And whether it was collected properly, not collected properly, you know, whether 24andMe on those websites actually have an accurate and can get enough DNA from a touch DNA that mm-hmm. they're used in this on the knife sheath. I think it's what it's really going to come down to is that DNA evidence.
I'm also very curious about the digital evidence, the digital footprint. We don't know a lot about that yet. We do know that they took computers. They have his devices. And none of that has leaked out yet, and not a lot of details other than the items in the investigators' hands that they have in their possession are what we know. But we know the type of information that's typically on those devices is usually very, very damning. Sometimes I'd say even more than DNA, because you're almost getting into the mind of the person that's committing these sort of things. This is just conjecture and pure speculation, because we're just looking ahead here in 2025 on this show. What do you think they're going to find there? Or do you think Koberger was smart enough to clear that sort of stuff up as best he could? You know, I mean, you can still get things back from the dead on a computer.
Yeah, and you said it right there, as best he could. So here's what they're going to be looking for on prosecution side, and here's what defense is hoping there isn't there. A link, social media-wise, on digital footprints between Koberger and any of the victims. Mm-hmm. Because when you're looking at law of averages, the vast majority of people that are murdered by someone that was very aware of them in their sphere of influence. And so they're going to be looking for some sort of connection between, or demonstrating through digital footprints, a connection that Koberger had with one of the victims at any point in time. What the defense is going to be doing is if that pops up, refuting it, mm-hmm. or if it doesn't exist, she's going to be using that as reasonable doubt. It could be someone else. And so I think that's the big unknown in this, because all the records have been sealed and there's been no leaks on it. I think that also, you know, we're saying, why is this going to take so long? Maybe because of that, because even though Koberger, again, I don't want to say Koberger because he's only accused. The killer was very, very good at planning this out. But it was obviously their first time doing it, because there's a lot of missteps that experience would have had them not do or do better a second time. That's where serial killers are born. You know, serial killers are born from the first rush, the first time they do it. They have a plan in place. They learn from it. They don't get caught, and they do better the next time. But they have a methodology behind what they do, because they have a real reason for them doing it, for the rush they're getting from the experience of it. And so what we saw here was someone really inexperienced, whoever it was, Koberger or not, at doing this. Well planned out, like an academic, like someone might have been studying something like this, but the execution lacked maturity, because it was quickly discoverable by law enforcement.
I think the big concern on the prosecution's side right now is going to be the investigation and not getting anything thrown out that is key. I know that the defense of Koberger has requested a Franks hearing, which is kind of interesting. But I think they're kind of, it's spaghetti on the wall. Let's try everything, whether it's a ridiculous request or not. Without much evidence to even have a Franks hearing, the judge is like, you gave us like 300 pages. What are we looking at here specifically? Because it's all very generic. And they haven't really answered that question as of this recording. That's going to be key because, again, This does rest on, as far as we know right now, publicly, a very few pieces of evidence, but some very damning pieces of evidence. But if anything was screwed up along that that line, chain of custody, whatever, there's a lot of things that could have gone wrong. That's going to be an issue. And this is, you know, it's a small town police department that doesn't deal with this stuff very often. If there is an error, I'm sure no one, it was not intended, but that's still a gamble. And I'm curious if they do have anything that they actually want to bring up and say, hey, this is really not quite right. What's your concern for that happening here?
That is my concern for that happening. Yeah. Right there, you know, when you have a great defense attorney like Koberger has, she's fantastic. She's been very good at working with very little. Mm-hmm. She's making a lot out of a little and doing a good job of it. And so the experience for this is on her side.
Mm-hmm.
I think the evidence for this is on prosecution's side. And so we're going to see where the two meet and how it turns out. And I'm the glass half full kind of guy always. And the fact that it's taken longer than it should have taken, and all these steps, because they're trying really hard to make sure that that doesn't happen. I think at least that's my hope in anything on this.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be fascinating. There's so many unknowns in this case, and that's what makes it hard, because we're still speculating here in 2025 on a lot of key details that came out literally 2023 now. Yeah. But with like slight new twists. I mean, I think really kind of one of the main things we learned this last year was he likes to look at stars. That was, I think, the Koberger news of 24. And we got a little bit further to trial date. You know, they moved where the case is going to be tried as well, to Boise.
Boise.
So I'm wondering where we're going to see. There's a lot of time yet here till August. There's going to be more hearings. I'm very curious to see what else Ann Taylor has up her sleeve to throw at the wall and see if anything does stick. There's a lot of time for a plot twist in here.
There is, but here's something I think is really helpful and heartening in this case is the fact that this is an evidence-based case. If you really look at what we're looking at, we're looking at DNA, we're looking at cell phone data, we're looking at internet, you know, traffic, all these sorts of database things, which they're going to try to have experts to either verify or refute.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to like the Karen Reed case, where you don't have a lot of evidence, you have a lot of hearsay, you have a lot of descriptions, you have a lot of drunk people involved.
Yes.
That's a much more complicated case, and it's much more harder when you don't know which way it's going to go, because that's emotionally charged, and you have human beings saying what happened rather than the data saying that what's happened. So I think that's why I'm a little more confident with the Koberger case of what we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, if it wasn't for a great defense attorney, I know exactly where this would be going.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. There's a lot more to come. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Let's be honest. Nothing kills the thrill of a good murder mystery like a commercial for laundry detergent. It's like someone slapping a closed sign on your favorite dive bar. But you're not here for that, are you? You're here for the good stuff. So ditch the ads and upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get your crime straight. No chaser. Commercial free with extended interviews and early access. It's like getting the bartender's special when the bar's already closed. Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and drink it all in.